The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The tremendous loss of blood through Jesus' 5 wounds, 195 plus scourge marks, the crown of thorns, the exposure to the cold air, the tremendous amount of work it required just to breathe, would have produced an extreme physical thirst. But Jesus, who had suffered so much up until this point, without a cry, enunciated this need. He who formed the waters in the second day of creation, who had gone without water for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, who had changed 180 gallons of water into wine, who had said to the woman at the well that he would give her a spring of living water welling up within her to eternal life, now said, "I thirst." Earlier he had rejected the anesthetic sedative of wine mixed with myrrh. Now he asked for a drink, and they used a hyssop branch to present him with a sponge soaked in sour wine. Mary, John, and Magdalene had nothing to give. The soldiers were the only ones who could. They had some coarse wine, more vinegar, which they put on a hyssop branch and lifted to him. Why did Jesus ask now? St. John tells us, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." He accepted it to fulfill a prophecy. He would reward this last act of charity. No one who had ever done such a thing would lose his reward he had promised. What was that prophecy? It was a continuation of Psalm 22, which played out in Psalm 69. You remember in Psalm 22, which we just covered, it was prophesied that Jesus would say from the cross, "My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." They used hyssop, the same branch that God had instructed the Jews to use to wipe the blood of the Paschal Lamb over their lintels and their posts in Egypt. "Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin," Moses said for God in the book of Exodus, "and touch the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood which is in the basin." It was the blood of the Passover lamb that saved God's people. It was the blood of Jesus that was to save the world from sin. The very mention of the word hyssop would be enough to connect Jesus to that Passover lamb. But the main psalm about Jesus' thirst, which prophesied it most deeply of all, was Psalm 69. And Jesus was going to fulfill it. Psalm goes, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there's no foothold. I've come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me, my enemies who accuse me falsely. It's zeal for your house that consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth for my clothing, I became a byword for them. I'm a subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free from my enemies. You know the insults I receive, my shame and dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Insults have broken my heart, so I'm in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. But then we hear at the very end of that psalm the same trusting confidence. Let your salvation, O God, protect me. I'll praise your name with a song. I'll magnify you with thanksgiving. This will please you more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Let the oppressed see it and be glad. All you who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own that are in bonds. We can't honestly tell from the gospel account whether the vinegar was offered to comfort or to aggravate Jesus' pain. The psalm we just heard implies the latter. But this psalm, like Psalm 22, finishes, as we know, with the praise and trust of the Lord. Because Jesus' thirst from the cross was not for wine. It was not for water. It was not for vinegar. It was for the Father's will. What was that will? It was a thirst for you. Because Jesus had come to quench the Father's infinite thirst for our love. The rich man in the parable with Lazarus at his gate in Luke 16. The rich man, when he was in hell, thirsted and begged Abraham to send Lazarus just to dip the tip of his finger in water to bring him some relief. Jesus was now on the cross, essentially sharing in the thirst of the damned before they were damned. But it was likewise a thirst for souls. As Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." So he says to all, "I thirst." And he wants to exchange with us like he exchanged with her living water. Jesus' desire is to quench our thirst with his thirst. Like someone who truly loves another, his greatest desire is just that the other allow him to love him. St. Jose Maria Escrivá once said in a homily, "Jesus hungers, he thirsts for souls. On the cross he cries out, 'Sitio, I thirst.' He thirsts for us, for our love, for our soul, for all the souls we ought to be bringing to him along the way of the cross, which is the way to immortality and heavenly glory." As we heard on the third Sunday of Lent, Jesus describes in two places what this living water is. In one place, he identifies it as his own presence in the Eucharist, in another, the presence of the Holy Spirit. First, in John 6, as he was prophesying about how the bread that he would give would far surpass the manna of the desert given to the Jews, he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Jesus wants to fill us with his own living water. And elsewhere in St. John's Gospel, he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And St. John interprets it for us. He said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. Jesus wants to give us both himself and an even greater gift than himself, the gift of the Holy Spirit, for which he would say it was better for him to go so that the Holy Spirit would come. Jesus wishes to give us this double whammy, and not just for ourselves, but so that we, filled with God's own presence within, might enter into his thirst and give our lives for those for whom Jesus was dying. That's what Jesus was always thirsting for in this life, and in this dramatic exclamation point on the cross. I've had a great joy in many different countries to help Mother Teresa's sisters, the missionaries of charity, including here in New Bedford in our own diocese. And in every one of their chapels, above the crucifix, Mother instructed that the words, "I thirst," be written there. The mission of the sisters of Blessed Mother Teresa is to seek to quench the infinite thirst of Jesus for souls, for love. When someone's thirsty, Jesus is thirsting. When someone's hungry, Jesus is thirsting. Somebody's got AIDS and is abandoned. No one else will care. Jesus is thirsting for that person. And he's thirsting for us to love those people with that infinite desire. The question for us is, what do we do in response to Jesus' thirst? Do we give him our desire, our love? Do we allow him to love us as he knows we most need? Or do we give him vinegar and gall? The Lord Jesus asks us to give him something to drink. He also asks us to share his thirst. Pope Benedict in Jesus of Nazareth wrote, at the beginning of the crucifixion, Jesus was offered the customary anesthetizing drink to deaden his unbearable pain. He declined to drink it. He wanted to endure his suffering consciously. At the climax of the passion under the burning midday sun stretched out on the cross, Jesus called out, "I thirst." This scene can hardly fail to remind us of the Song of the Vineyard in the 5th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Here God brings his lament before Israel. He's planted a vineyard on a fruitful height and taken every possible care over it. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it only yielded wild grapes, Isaiah says. The vineyard of Israel fails to yield for God the noble fruit of justice, which is grounded in love. It yields the sour grapes of man, concerned only for himself. It yields vinegar instead of wine. God's lament, which we hear in the Song of the Prophet, is brought to fulfillment as the vinegar is proffered to the thirsting Savior. Just as Isaiah's song portrays God suffering over his people in a way that far transcends the historical moment, so too the scene at the cross far transcends the hour of Jesus' death. It's not only Israel, but the church. It's we ourselves who repeatedly respond to God's bountiful love with vinegar, with a sour heart that's unable to perceive God's love. I thirst. This is the cry that Jesus addresses to every single one of us. It's what Pope Benedict tells us. So often we respond with vinegar rather than with cool water, or rather than with water made into precious wine. St. Augustine, in his explanation of the word I thirst, says that it shows us not only the desire which Christ had for a drink, but still more the desire with which he was inflamed, that his enemies should believe in him and be saved. Christ thirsted for the glory of God and the salvation of men, as we ought to thirst for that same glory and for that same salvation. Jesus would often pray Psalm 42, and doubtless it was on his mind on the cross. As a deer yearns for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Jesus was about to behold that face, and we behold that face here. When Jesus spoke of charity, he wanted it to be very simple and straightforward for all of us. He didn't say if you're going to love your neighbor that you have to chop off body parts. What he said is, amen, amen, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. Real love like Christ loves begins with those simple little actions. And Jesus said we would be judged on whether we give to him when he's thirsty in disguise something to drink. And the way we quench his thirst and quench others' thirst is not by just giving them H2O, but by giving them Jesus' living water as he seeks to lead us beside restful waters to make our cup overflow. Let's seek today here to quench Jesus' infinite thirst for souls by giving him our bodies, our souls, our minds, and our strength, and allowing him through us to go out and irrigate the world with that thirst and the living water that quenches it.